All right, back on the Young Turks. So look at this, Brett Ehrlich from Pop Trigger and Kim Horcher from Nerd Alert.
Wow,
that's so far over.
Well, we had a debate right before we got on air that on what Kim's outfit was, and it is a dragon.
Kinda.
Okay. Yes. Kinda.
I believe the interaction.
I could be a Star Trek villain.
Ooh, that's not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah.
Here's what happened. I believe it was, hey, is that from House Tully? Because in Game of Thrones, they have the fish.
Are you calling me the blackfish?
The blackfish, and I only saw one side. And then you said what? No, I'm a dragon idiot? Or dumb. One of those two.
No, I think, to be fair to Brett, it was a perfectly good guess.
Thank you.
Tully, the fish.
I'm just giving you shit, I know.
And actually, going as blackfish for Halloween is pretty badass.
I've gone as Khal Drogo for Halloween.
Awesome.
Oh, and indeed. I made my boyfriend be Daenerys.
Okay, it got weird, but kind of fun.
It was real fun.
Sounds great.
We loved it.
Well, all right, to each his own. God bless him. Okay. Greta says, usually when a Republican says they're quitting politics to focus on family, it means there's an impending sex scandal. Greta, usually in this case, it might just be money and corruption. No more donations, says O'Reilly, fired and Chaffetz resigning from politics on the same day. Illicit affair coincidence?
Wow. I'm wondering when Bill O'Reilly will officially take over for Sean Spicer.
Oh, no.
Like, when is that? What,
you know, Sirota said the same thing.
Really? Okay, good. I was too busy photoshopping something to tweet out of that. So
yeah, and but Ida Raleigh gave you credit for saying it either in conjunction with or even a little earlier.
He's too nice.
Yes.
I need to teach him is to just take credit for stuff and don't be nice to people.
Yeah. I mean, if the Young Turks has taught you anything.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last thing is shout outs for people donating to the journalism drive. And Jesus, I'll see where we are in a second. $27 from Madeline in North Carolina, $127 from Mike in Connecticut, and $127 from Andrew in Arkansas. And by the way, speaking of Game of Thrones, we have our own Game of Thrones t-shirt now, the House TYT with the iguana on it, which is badass. And if you donate $127, you get that. So that's at the end of the drive right now. So that's kind of badass. All right, where are we at? Do we have it?
Hey!
1.675. Okay, 1.750 gets us one more reporter. 2 million gets us two more reporters, which would be phenomenal. And they're working on some killer stories now. I had a conversation about that earlier today. Okay, Brett, what's next?
All right, we're going to get right into it. Former NFL star Aaron Hernandez was found dead in his prison cell today. There he is. It's the end of a long, sordid tale that involves professional sports and murder. And we'll take you through it, but first, here's a statement from his attorney. He says Aaron was looking forward to an opportunity for a second chance to prove his innocence on one of the counts of murder after being exonerated of two additional counts. Those who love and care about him are heartbroken and determined to find the truth surrounding his untimely death. Here is the full timeline for those of you who are hearing things about him getting found not guilty and then committing suicide and his and why that would happen. Here is the full timeline. In 2012, he signed a 5-year, $40 million contract with the Patriots. And then in 2013, he was charged with the murder of Odin Lloyd, a semi-pro football player who was dating his fiance's sister at the time. The Patriots then released him from the contract. Then in May 2014, he was charged of the murder of Safiro Furtado and Danielle De Abreu. This is a different murder charge for a drive-by shooting of these two men. And then in April 2015, he was found guilty of the Odin Lloyd case and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. And then Friday, he was found not guilty in the additional two drive-by murders. And then he was found dead in his cell today. So that's
a very helpful timeline.
You know?
I got confused before, so I'm glad you did it. Baez seems like he's hinting that this was a murder.
Yeah, so it seems like Jose Baez is his attorney who will investigate the death for the family just to find out what exactly happened, and then the coroner's office is going to perform an autopsy.
So as my quite frequent criticism of Alex Jones tells you, I'm not big on the conspiracy theories and the wild and crazy stuff that people say online. But from time to time, there are things that are cover-ups. And so top of that list is mysterious suicides while in prison. So I just, all I say on that stuff is, if there's a way to take a second look with an independent body and not the prison going, oh yeah, yeah, no, that's totally fine. As usual, another hanging in the prison. Must have done it right after you got acquitted. Now, remember, he had the life without parole sentence as well. That was in a separate case. So it's not like he was going to walk out of prison the next day and winds up killing himself. But, and we don't know for sure. And one piece of evidence that it was a suicide is that they said that he tried to bar people from entering by barricading the door from the inside. Now, that's a pretty solid evidence, if it's true, that it was a suicide. And his family members, his friends say he wasn't remotely suicidal. He was obviously very happy about the outcome of the second trial, blowing kisses to his daughter in the courtroom, etc. He's got a 4-year-old daughter. I would just do a super independent investigation of it, because I'm always skeptical that guys want to hang themselves in prison.
Yeah,
I mean, we've heard it a lot. It's not unheard of. I mean, I feel like you've done a lot of stories about later it was discovered that this has happened, but we can't really say it without evidence. However, we do need it to be fair. We need that outside source to be able to conduct this investigation. Unless, I mean, yeah, it just seems like it's happened so much that it wouldn't be credible without that.
Yeah. In some of the cases, I want to be clear, there's speculation about the authorities and in cases where that involved like police abuse, and they want, and that person winds up conveniently dead. And in this case, I don't think that there's any such allegation, at least as far as I know. But remember, the people who are dead have friends. And I don't know if some of those friends were in prison. Again, we're total speculation here, right? But he gets acquitted of that crime, and then all of a sudden he winds up dead right afterwards. Is it friends of the deceased who are like, no, we kind of thought you were guilty? No idea. I'm just saying, I'm not taking the authorities' word for it 100%. I'd look into it a little bit more.
For me, the whole story is just the epic, you know, Shakespearean nature of someone who signed a deal for $40 million, who was on it's the fall of it all. And then for him to be found guilty in a separate case, now he's at the lowest point you can imagine if he was convicted of these other murders. And then to have it reach that low, get to the point where he's exonerated and you're expecting some kind of hope to return to him. I mean, but still, me as a casual observer, I have no stake in this game. It's just a strange feeling. But that's the case.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think, God, man, how much would we love $40 million? And his teammates, his former teammates, going to the White House now because they just won the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
And this happens to him. But
today, today they were at the Super Bowl, at the White House.
Yeah. Maybe he knows that and he got depressed over that. We don't know, but we. And it's easy for us to judge, and Aaron Hernandez, given his conviction on murder, fairly easy to judge. Literally, society has judged him, right? And what he did was horrific. But you know, I read a little bit into how he grew up and stuff, and I'm not one of those guys I'm a bad guy. I believe in vengeance. I've talked about it many times. I'm not being soft-hearted here, but he grew up under terrible circumstances, and that affected who he was. So all I'm saying is, you might have reacted differently to the $40 million. I think I would have.
Yeah.
My reaction would have been like, yes, I never want to get in trouble again.
Yeah.
Right?
But I would have to be a completely different person to be a professional athlete. Like, everything about me would have to be different.
Yeah, and for him, the way that he grew up was completely different. So he had a different reaction to that situation. And that's why it's hard for us to relate. But either way, he's passed away now.
Could you, if you were in prison, convicted of something, let's say you didn't do it, would you think about it? Would you end it, or would you sit in
never
prison forever?
I don't know. It's hard to say because I've never been there. I'm sure it's terrible, and I'm sure you get very depressed and feel like the world is conspiring against you. Even if you've gotten to this point, you know you're innocent.
Yeah.
No. Let me be clear, okay? You can come back and look at this tape later. If anyone says I committed suicide, it is not true, okay? I'm not the guy to commit suicide,
hello,
okay?
Hello, news from the future.
Yes.
Jeez.
One, I'm a generally happy guy. B.
not super educated.
Okay, three, no, okay. Anyway, and second of all, yes, even under different circumstances, my answer is hell no, I'm not the kind of guy to give up. So, and I got family. I did not commit suicide. That is a conspiracy.
Avenge Jake's death, maybe?
Two.
All right, let's move on to the next story. A mother has filmed her 10-year-old son being arrested at school. Her son suffers from autism. Let's take a look at that video that she uploaded of the incident.
Give me your light, Julie. Hold on, be tactile.
So you have the same rights as an adult. Well, if he's going to be arrested, does he still have the same?
I don't want to be touched.
Does he need to be told?
He doesn't have to be told. He has a right.
So not even an adult has a right to be told when they're arrested why?
You're so fucking dumb, Mama.
Yes, it is. And I'll get a lawyer and we'll take care of this. Yes, I agree. This is for something from months ago we didn't know about.
Oh, I didn't know I couldn't get arrested. Like
neither did I. It was. Neither did I. We came in for testing.
I don't want to be touched. Please don't touch me.
Can I ride with him? So you really can't tell me as the parent? I know you don't know what's going on. Can you tell me what's going on or have any paperwork that you can show me? Excuse me. Do you have any paperwork or anything you can say to me?
I don't understand.
I know, honey. He has autism. He doesn't know what's going on. He's scared to death. He's 10 years old.
I don't know what's fucking going on.
I don't either, honey.
I don't want him. No.
Listen, don't.
No.
I don't want you to hurt nobody.
It's all their fault.
I'm sorry, honey. I didn't have nothing to do with this. No, he's not going to be okay. You bringing him to the count up here to the jail?
This happened in Okeechobee, Florida. The child's name is John Haygood. His mother, Luann, filmed the incident. And here's what happened. He was accused in October of last year of assaulting his teacher, kicking her and punching her, leaving marks. After that, he stayed away from school. And it wasn't until Wednesday when he went back for mandatory testing that the sheriff was there and the person who arrested those two officers that were arresting him showed up to serve a warrant to him, something that the mother maintains she knew absolutely nothing about. The sheriff's office, in conjunction with the state attorney, stated that they also did not know that the child had autism, though the school says that they do and they provide services typically for children with autism, even though they didn't directly mention this particular event. The mother says that this is a nationwide problem. According to her, it's nationwide and these children are not getting the services they are guaranteed under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act or the IDEA, IDEA. Now maybe something will be changed. Now maybe somebody will believe me and other parents when we say our kids are being mistreated. So there you have it.
Well, this is heartbreaking on so many different grounds. First of all, even if he didn't have autism, don't arrest 10-year-olds. I mean, that's so he kicked a teacher. So that's bad. You should get suspended for that, definitely. They should consider expelling the kid if he doesn't have autism, right? I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't expel the kid. But he has autism, so you're supposed to help him. You're supposed to be a little bit more understanding. Instead, they charge him with a third-degree felony and let him away in handcuffs. I don't know, man. Is it me? Am I just too old school? Like, I remember, yeah, like sometimes things would happen and the kid would accidentally or on purpose hit a teacher. And they would never get arrested. They wouldn't get arrested at 16, let alone at 10, let alone with autism. I mean, what the hell's going on in this country? I think that we just have decided that we're going to criminalize everything. We got to fill up those jails, and we've become honestly monstrous. How do you look at that video and not have that be heartbreaking? If you're the cops, how do you not call into the headquarters and go, "Hey, chief, I hear you. I know I'm supposed to serve this warrant, but mom says he's got autism. Can we double check on this?"
Yeah.
Right.
I find it, okay, so I was reading further in the article and they said, the school said they would not invite someone to one of our campuses for the sole purpose of arrest. I find that very hard to believe because he was there just for testing just that day. He was staying there. This is like, I imagine two people whispering from maybe the school side and the police side, like, oh, he'll be here today. Come get this kid. Come traumatize him in front of everyone, and we'll make an example out of him. This is terrible. This is going to have lasting effects on him for sure.
Yeah, and I looked at the school's website, and their mission statement said made reference to when the child is ready to return to their original school. They will have the social skills necessary to do so. So it seems like this is a school that should be equipped to do that. Now, I also did some research on Autism Speaks website. If you're a parent out there and you have children who have autism, you have legal rights according to the IDEA, which the mother mentioned. It says that you as a parent, once your child has been diagnosed by a professional with autism, you as a parent are entitled to be treated as an equal partner in the school with the school district in deciding on an education plan for your child. It also means that you must be an informed, active participant in planning and monitoring your child's unique program and legal rights. And you have access to things like early intervention, special education, extended school year. So there's options for you. And it seems when you look at all the events that transpired over the course of this video and that whole day, it's like no one was communicating with each other. So there was a giant breakdown. The police were there to arrest the kid because he assaulted a teacher, which is a third degree felony in Florida. But it seems like there was a breakdown in that system of communication. And the school, which should be there to take care of a child with special needs, didn't.
Yeah, I'm with Kim here. So he kicks the teacher, he goes and is then homeschooled. This is the one day that he comes into school and they just happen to arrest him on that one day. Not only is that way too much of a coincidence, the second part of that is even more disturbing, which is that you know where he lives. The school's got his address. You can go and get him any day. It seemed like you said, Kim, that they wanted
to everyone.
That they wanted to set an make an example out of him. And you know the kid's autistic. The cops might not know, but the school knows. And so whoever was at the school who decided we'll make an example out of this autistic kid, that's a special kind of sick.
And what's frustrating is the series of events that night. He got arrested. He was in jail for 12 hours. He was held overnight. And then what happens? And then what did they do? They released him to go home again. Why did we arrest him in the first place? Just go to the child's house and say, okay, we are going to go forward with these charges, which I believe seems a little insane to me. But at least, I mean, at the end of the day, he was back home doing what he had been doing to avoid the school in the first place. He only showed up for mandatory testing. And if you look at the IDEA, he should be able to have access to, if he's not being mainstreamed effectively, which is the process of putting him in school with children who don't have autism. If he's not being mainstreamed effectively, maybe it's best and most effective to have him take those tests at home and help him through it. He's a child with special needs. It just seems like they were being ignored.
Yeah, and like Brett said, there's no reason why you can't just serve him a warrant at home and say, hey, show up at trial at this point. You know who they do that with? I was going to say bankers, but bankers are never arrested. But if they were arrested in the old days when they would arrest bankers, they usually do it politely. They come by, serve you a warrant, etc. And with white collar crime, unless somebody's looking to, you know, make a political point, etc., they don't get let away in handcuffs. So they handcuffed the kid. They kept him overnight. He's 10 years old.
Yeah,
that's insane. We've become this brutal country where we almost relish these acts of brutality. And so, look, I don't know. I mean, am I the crazy one? If I'm a teacher and teachers have a super hard job, I get that. And we celebrate teachers here all the time. But if I'm a teacher and a 10-year-old kicks at me, even if he doesn't have autism, I'm not going to charge him with a third degree felony. I mean, there's no way I charge him with that.
He wasn't being disruptive at the time, is the thing. It's like you restrain someone when they need to be restrained. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. Like, children with autism, and they're not taking the social cues the way that most people without autism would conventionally interpret them. When the mom says he doesn't know what's going on, that's a very accurate statement of what's happening. And they need to be nice about that. They need to take it into consideration. And it's also weird that when I see a film or a video like this, and no one's getting like beaten up, I'm almost like, thank goodness.
Yeah, the mom was shockingly calm. I guarantee you I would not have been that calm. And then the whole family's in a world of trouble, right? Yeah. And then you got more people in prison.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we got a lot of stuff. We got a dreamer who was deported. We've got Adidas sent one of the most, whether it was on purpose or not, one of the most misguided marketing emails surrounding the Boston Marathon.
All that when we come back.
Fuel free, firearm free, private prison free, sustainable investing fund, an aspiration called the Redwood Fund. And the minimum is just $100. The power and future is yours to determine. The choices you make with your money matter. And that's why we built Aspiration, because there's a different, better way to deliver both great banking and investing services that meet your needs and also match your values.
Turks, a couple of member shout outs for you guys. Nancy Carpenter and Gerald Cox, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Today in the post game, you're not going to believe this if you watch Monday's show. Brent went to a spa.
What?
I did.
Okay.
No problem with it. Not a hotel spa. A delightful spa.
Wait, did you say on Monday you would never go to a
no,
spa?
No. I said I'd been to a lot, like a lot of them. But no,
he's kind of proving me right from the Monday post game.
It was great, and they're fantastic.
Okay.
Cote d'Azur.
And there's something special happened there, we'll explain. And speaking of which, I had a controversial dream about Anna.
That's way more. Interesting. Controversial is a controversial word, in my opinion.
Okay, so become a member, get the post games. And by the way, if you missed the Bill O'Reilly segment from earlier today, members can download and watch all the segments and all the hours on demand without ads. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Now here are the folks that are given to the journalism campaign as it is almost over now. $48 from Doris in California, $50 from Jane in Colorado. And is that Mary Jane in Colorado? That's
Luke. Hello.
Get it.
Okay.
Oh, you're bringing the business a little more money. You know what I mean? That's very generous.
$127 from Marta in New Jersey. I love that name. Can I see tytnetwork.com/go? What is this?
What
up,
really?
10,000? You guys are awesome. By the way, one of the reasons it can go up $1,000 at a time is you know that the house TYT is if you give $127, but $1,000 gets you one of the last TYT rings in existence. Mm-hmm. And $5,000.
I have one of those.
You do? See, yeah. It's very special.
And it's molded for your finger.
Oh, is it?
So it's very big on me.
Okay, well, there's only certain sizes, so can't guarantee your size. I'm keeping it real. There's only a certain amount. And by the way, the desk is taken already, and so that's awesome. And a couple of the cameras are, but there's still a lot of cameras and chairs we can endow for you guys at $5,000 a pop. So it's of course you're giving to the journalism campaign. We've already hired, I think, 8 people. We'd like to hire 2 more reporters.
Awesome.
And that's what it goes towards. So tytnetwork.com/go. All right, lastly, the tweets for you, and they're good. Tom Sherry writes in, Aaron Hernandez should be on an episode of Murder with Friends.
Interesting, yes.
Grace, think about it. Your mama says, why would they handcuff this kid? That's the same thing I was thinking. You could put the kid in the car. First of all, you shouldn't, as Brett pointed out. But even if you were going to, you think the kid's really, I mean, you got to handcuff him? Is he dangerous? Is he going to do something to you? Might he also kick you? Wow.
What right? A mixed message to send the kid. Like, you have to be there for testing, but we're going to arrest you. Like,
yeah.
Well, pick one.
Yeah. And Keith Simon says, arresting a child won't tell the child or the parent why. Is this not kidnapping, or is it okay because cops are heroes? But Keith, you know, it makes a very good point there that I meant to point out in the story and I forgot to, which is they refused to tell him why they were arresting the kid. You're arresting my 10-year-old son and you're not going to tell me why? That's mental. That's mental. It was shocking how calm the mom was. Give her tremendous credit there. Okay, and finally, Sean Ferris says, reminder, they apparently have child-sized handcuffs in Florida.
What?
Avoid Florida like the fucking plague. That's what Sean wrote. By the way, I'm going to Florida in about 10 days.
Nice. That's amazing. As the Mar-a-Lago season ends.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. A deported dreamer is suing the Trump administration to find out why the hell he was deported. His name is Juan Manuel Montes. He's 23. There he is. He is filing a suit saying that there were no documents explaining why he was deported. He went to Calexico, California to visit his girlfriend. He was arrested by, or he was, you know, confronted by some police who he asked, what do I do? He says he had no idea what to do in that situation. They took him in, they made him sign some papers, and then they sent him back to Mexico. He is a dreamer, mind you. According to the NILC staff attorney, Nora A. Preciado, she says, Juan Manuel was funneled across the border without so much as a piece of paper to explain why or how. The government shouldn't treat anyone this way, much less someone who has DACA. No one should have to file a lawsuit to find out what happened to them. And then Maria Elena Hincaipe said, how is it possible that in the United States of America, you can be walking and be stopped by Border Patrol and then disappeared and sent to another country because you didn't have your wallet on you?
I want to emphasize that last part. Look, there's a lot of reasons to be outraged at this story. If you're outraged that Trump is now sending people back, even if when they came at the age of 9, and not having anything to do with of their own volition, etc., you shouldn't be surprised by that. Trump said he was going to do that. That's why we told you not to vote for him. He's a disaster. If you're surprised that he's violating his own oath that he wouldn't do it to dreamers, come on. Really, you're surprised by that? But don't get me wrong, you should be outraged by it. But the thing to me that is most disturbing, most un-American is papers.
Okay. Yes, 100%.
Right? I don't have my papers. I went out to grab a bite to eat. Okay, that's it. Put them in a truck, drive them somewhere, and a couple hours later, you're gone. You're in another country. What? Wait, why are you deporting me? Later they say, well, you know, your DACA ran out in 2015. It's not true. He actually got it renewed to 2018.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter. We didn't do an investigation. We didn't have any court proceedings. We didn't have any papers. We didn't let you get your papers. We just found you in the streets. All that's missing is the bag put it over his head.
Yeah.
Right? They're like almost literally kidnapping people off the streets of the country now. Because of DACA, he actually does have a legal right to be here till 2018. Doesn't matter, grab him, put him in a different country, and we're done with him.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. It's like, we should be better than this. You don't like brown people, okay. You still have to obey the laws. And then there's like these alternate facts in here, like, it said his DACA status expired in 2015 when it's provable it has not expired and it's good for more than a year. And then it says, oh, he has a conviction for theft, but the court records show a misdemeanor for shoplifting, which isn't exactly the same. It's just, it's not justifiable. You have to act in the law. That's what makes this country supposedly better.
Yeah, Dick Durbin called it out. He basically said, and a lot of folks have pointed this out, like it's a Freedom of Information Act that they're request that they're putting in. And when you do that, when you send in a Freedom of Information Act because it's not readily available, that's already a problem.
That his lawyers are doing.
That his lawyers are doing that. That his lawyers have to file that Freedom of Information Act because this person was not given a reason why he had to leave the country. Not to mention, he also suffered from a traumatic brain injury, which hinders his cognition.
Yeah.
So he probably got confused and.
Yeah, that could certainly be the case. And then he tried to get back in because he's trying to go home. They're like, oh, now you're in real trouble. But dude, you kidnapped me and put me in a country I don't live in.
Yeah.
He's like, I have to go to work, right? Work is gone, home is gone, family is gone, everything is gone. We have courts in this country so that we can adjudicate if we're right or wrong. And it turns out, as Kim pointed out, that we were wrong on several fronts. It matters if it's a felony or a misdemeanor. It matters if you have papers that last till 2018 or don't have them, right? But we never bothered to find out because we now live in Trump's America.
Right, and what are we putting our resources toward? Are we arresting this guy who was visiting his girlfriend who has one shoplifting arrest. I just don't think that that's what we should be focused on right now. But apparently a lot of folks have some time on their hands because Steve King decided to chime in on Twitter. Let's go to his graphic 9B. He posted this photo on his Twitter. First non-valedictorian dreamer deported. Border Patrol, this one's for you. And that is a Stein that, no, that is a police badge on it and not a stormtrooper hat.
It does kind of look like a stormtrooper hat.
Yeah.
And what does that mean, non-valedictorian? Like, you deserve to be deported if you're not a valedictorian?
It's weird because a lot of the stories that are about dreamers is about ones that are contributing to society, ones that are valedictorians, to show that, yes, we should be looking out for folks who are fulfilling the dream of their family. And the whole idea behind DACA is you were brought in at a point where you had no real say in the matter, and now the ones who are valedictorians are the ones that you see in the articles. And this guy's like, yeah, we're getting guys who were visiting their girlfriends. Ha, let's get drunk.
So he's mocking it. And Steve King has said in the past, you know, oh, they all say that there are these really smart kids who are doing well. But you know, a lot of them are have calves the size of cantaloupes.
What does that even mean?
No, because by the way, it's a literal quote from Steve King. And he said because they're dragging all this marijuana into the country, and that's why their calves are so large.
First of all, weed's not that heavy.
Second of all, he was 9 when he came into the country in this particular case. But Steve King's like, who cares? He was successful.
Were
Latino,
you
even better get him out.
Steve King, I mean, what is this? It makes no sense. It's just so thinly veiled. Racism and scapegoating, and it's so stupid and it's so clear.
What a weird fruit to talk about.
Like cantaloupes?
I've heard softballs because it's like a sports reference, but the size of cantaloupes,
like
that's
big.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, Steve King, to be fair to him, he's at least thinly veiling it this time. Normally he doesn't. The other day he got in trouble for saying we need to basically make more white babies. Because otherwise, the country is going to be more brown.
All right, goodness.
And then
what happens? Right. So that's when you stop veiling your racism.
So terrible. Okay. All right, let's talk about Adidas. We're all familiar with getting emails from companies telling us to buy things. Well, Adidas sent one that was received in poor taste. Let's take a look at this one, which was called out by Jason Lonsdale. He received an email. If you read at the top, it says, congrats, you survived the Boston Marathon.
Oops.
Ooh.
And of course, due to the Boston Marathon bombing, folks like him pointed it out, saying, dear Adidas, I love you, but you need to talk to whoever's doing your email marketing. Adidas issued this statement over Twitter with an image saying, we are incredibly sorry, we deeply apologize for our mistake, etc. It's one of the most inspirational sporting events, the Boston Marathon. Every year we're reminded of the hope and resiliency of the running community at this event.
And then they said,
oh my God, I am totally, 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 totally sorry for that.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it's that big a deal. I don't know if that's a controversial thing to say, but look, my guess is Adidas sends this whenever you complete a marathon anywhere. Like, congratulations, you survived Santa Fe. Took all the marathon runners, and they just took out Santa Fe and put in.
Are there marathons in
Santa Fe? Okay.
You could have done this for any other marathon, and no one would have been thinking about those people who got killed in the marathon.
To be fair,
you're not buying my theory.
I think it's thoughtless, but. I mean, you had one job, which is don't celebrate people dying in the marathon, and then it's not that hard.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was a mistake, but of course we don't know. But to your point, Kim, even if it was a mistake, come on, dude, you're gonna make that mistake, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was on purpose. Like, there are other examples of people doing more overt, to me, more offensive attempts to profit off of tragedies. Here are a couple. Cracked did an article back in the day.
Boy.
Here are some examples. Here is from AT&T tweeted this. Never forget.
No.
And then it's like their phone. And then,
that's much worse.
Here's another one that's the 12th anniversary of 9/11 coupon from Trump Tumble Down Trails saying that golf for nine holes is $9.11.
Oh my God, 9/11. That's disastrous.
18 for 19/11. And then this guy, I don't know who he is, said, I would like to extend my best wishes to all, even the haters and losers. On this special date, September 11th.
That guy should be fired.
Oh my.
Whoever wrote that should be fired.
He's so nuts. The only thing that he left out of that tweet was sad. But I can top that actually with an old friend of Donald Trump. Chris Christie would give away some of the wreckage from 9/11 from the World Trade Center to political donors and allies.
Oh. Donors.
That is so gross. So compared to those outrageous things, Adidas seems kind of light. Like it's wrong, but probably an error. And they go, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I think we probably get past
it. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's not like this shameless cash grab for tragedy.
Yeah,
just thoughtless.
Can we go as far as, and I'm going to need Kim's approval here, can we pardon them now that they've apologized?
Okay.
To be fair, Pheidippides did not really survive the marathon. The original person who ran from Marathon to Athens to say he won a war said, we won, and then he died. Question, do we want to do thousands of Massachusetts drug cases vacated or
save it
tennis
for
sex
later?
Can we do tennis sex in 2.5 minutes?
All right, let's do it. Tennis sex in 2.5 minutes. A lot of weird sounds are made on the tennis court, but this one surpasses them all. Let's take a look at the video.
I still hear it. Well, that is the most bizarre situation. I don't know how to put this, folks, but somebody's phone going off in the stands.
Let's bring it back. And later on, the other tennis player at the Sarasota Open yelled, it can't be that good.
Yeah.
So there
now,
you go.
The announcer turned out to be wrong. He thought it was porn on someone's phone. It was not. It was real live sex. There was a lake across the way from the tennis tournament. It's a small lake, obviously, I think, obviously. And a house across the lake, they were having sex. And it was so loud that it went across the lake into the stadium and interrupted the proceedings. The entire crowd could hear them having sex. Okay.
What kind of acoustics do they have?
The best kind.
Oh my God.
You know, a lot of people made the point online. They're like, okay, that's a tennis tournament that happened on TV. Imagine their neighbors. they're going to be right next door. And you think that's the first time they did that or the last time they're going to do that? No way. They hear that every other day.
And imagine having to go back to playing tennis during that.
Yeah.
You're just, because he has to do it. And it kept going for over a minute. They kept coming back to him. Like
kept coming back?
Yeah.
Just a minute.
Live sex.
It was indeed live sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For a whole minute.
Over a minute, and the announcer was like, it's still going. And that's the announcer.
And that's why the player you saw there tried to hit the ball across the lake to try to get it to their house.
So right. Amazing.
That's awesome. I think, you know what? Turns out it's love.
Love.
Okay, we're going to take a super quick break and come right back with one more story. That's the Massachusetts story, which is a disaster. Right back. I told you we'd be right back, and here we are, isn't it? Okay. So if you haven't noticed, by the way, folks, we're trying to get out at 8 o'clock sharp because there's an exciting announcement that's going to come in a couple of weeks. Thing, but we do have a little bit more show for you guys. One more story that we love that we wanted to share with you guys.
Okay. Thousands of Massachusetts drug cases are being vacated or dismissed because of a rogue scientist. That's right. Here she is, Annie Dukan, who pled guilty back in 2013 to tampering with or rendering and just doing weird things. There's this thing called dry labbing where you just, you don't want to do all the tests, so you do one and say you got the same result in all the other tests. This happened in 2013. She pled guilty. And so on Tuesday, the court that oversees, the jurisdiction that oversees Boston and many drug cases, announced that they are going to vacate around 20,000 drug cases that were the work of this one rogue scientist. They are standing by some. How many? A whopping 1.5% of all the cases that she was involved with. Only 1.5%, and they say that those ones include drugs and violence, the intersection of drugs and violence. So there you go.
Yeah, this is a stunning number of cases that are going to get vacated here. There was actually 40,000 cases she screwed up between 2003 and 2012, but the other 20,000 have already been let out of prison because their sentences were shorter.
Not to mention that this was in 2013 she pled guilty. She's been released from prison.
She was released a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. So finally, they're like, yeah, those guys that are still in prison because of Annie Dukan, to be more specific, she's being called the rogue chemist.
That sounds like a TV show.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say coming up on Netflix. I'm binge watching the rogue chemist.
So good.
Sounds kind of badass. Anyway. There's so many things that sound funny in this. Like, you're right, dry labbing. I feel like that's what I was doing throughout high school.
Jesus.
So now they're saying, look, the 20,000 guys we're releasing, we actually have other evidence on them. And the prosecutor is saying, don't get us wrong, they very likely did it.
Right.
So this is kind of devastating. Now, I'm a little bit more mixed on it. Some of those, because you have to understand, a lot of people plead down to drug possession. So some of those cases are actually drug dealing. But I think drugs should be legal. And I think that those guys are in a situation where they have very little opportunity and they're in this context. And next thing you know, they're part of this prison industrial complex.
Right.
So maybe it's not such a bad thing, especially because when 1.5% they go, no, those guys are actual bad guys.
Right. They said on average they had 60 instances on their record. Like, what is it? 60 entries on their criminal record are the ones.
Yeah. So does that mean the other 98.5% was optional? You know, we put them in prison, see what happens. God,
that's crazy. Yeah, Anthony Benedetti, who's from the Committee for Public Counsel Services, chief counsel. This is number 17. He said, although this is a fair and just result now, in many respects the damage has been done. Justice delayed is justice denied. He said people have lost their jobs, they've lost their housing because they were in prison for this long as a result of being convicted by faulty lab work. And some of them have been deported. So if you are talking about folks, yeah, that are being targeted because
lives have been ruined already. You can't undo that.
Yeah, but lab work's so boring.
Well, we'll give her just a couple years in prison. It'll be all fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to come back to that in a second. But on the other hand, there's also guys who are guilty and probably a decent number. And like I said, I don't care about the guys who actually had drugs. They should never be in prison in the first place. But the guys who are dealing, and I don't know if there's violence or whatever, right? Those guys, they're like, oh, I just drew a lucky number.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, she tampered with my evidence. Great, I mean,
yeah.
Oh, Annie Dukan.
There's a lot of district attorneys who are like, are you kidding me? I spent so much time on that case. And just to have it thrown out because this person screwed up.
I was reading about her, she was blatantly screwing up. Like,
how
she
so?
Would say that she did, her turnover was really high. For a period, like impossibly high. And there were things that she said she did, but then other people in the lab reported never seeing her there at all. It looked like her employers just missed a lot of red flags and let her keep doing this for a long time, even after they'd even discovered this. It was really messed up and blatant, and it just kept going, and like we said, her punishment is over for this.
Yeah, so that's a great point by Kim. So I want to explain the two reasons why she did it. One, she wanted to appear more efficient. and hence the dry labbing. You're supposed to do a couple of tests to make sure that it actually is narcotics, right? She's like, oh, I did one. I mean, I have to keep going. Come on, let's dry lab this. I'll seem like a superstar. So that's, it always amazes me that you're willing to play with people's lives. You're going to ruin their lives. Not only are they going to go to prison, but that's it. Their chance of getting a job going forward is, you know, greatly, greatly reduce what their family and friends think, all these disastrous consequences, because you wanted to seem slightly more efficient at work. What kind of a, and so that's, when I was younger, I would be surprised that prosecutors would put people away that were actually innocent because they wanted to make sure that they had a better record, right? Like, how could you care about your career so much that you're willing to, and so sometimes it'd be death row, they'd put guys on death row even though they know they didn't do it. Cops planting evidence, I couldn't believe it. When I was a younger conservative, I'm like, no, why would cops could plant evidence? There's so many actual guilty people, why would they bother doing that? But people want to advance their careers. But on top of that, this woman sometimes would take samples that were negative, and she's like, well, it'll seem better if it's positive. So she would just switch it to positive. In those cases, she knows they didn't do it. And so to Kim's point, she got a 3 to 5 year sentence, which she didn't even fully serve, and she's already out. For ruining all their, all those innocent lives, that's all you got?
Because basically nothing.
Yeah, because in our world, you know why? Because prosecutors and people like her and cops are especially privileged people. If you ruin someone else's life, you might serve a life prison sentence, right? But if you're in a person in a position of authority, these 40,000 cases are called the Dukin defendants, named after her.
Right.
Right? 40,000 of them. And you're out in a couple of years.
Crazy. Yeah. I don't like her. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't like
Brad,
her.
No.
I'm usually very nice
Brad,
to people.
No.
I don't
it's
like
too
her.
Extreme.
Well, you made him do it, Annie. Okay, you only have yourself to blame. Okay, I was going to say something else about dry labbing. I threw that one back in. Okay, a rare throwback in.
Good for you.
Okay,
you're growing.
Restraint. Okay, so in the post game, we lose the restraint. We tell you how Brett's spa experience ended. Okay. And my controversial dream about Anna Kasparian.
Do we have to do this?
Yes, we do.
TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member and hear that post game. And by the way, later tonight, also TYT Classics. Apparently, Ben and I predicted something. Did it come true? That's also for the members.
Okay.
And Old School later tonight. So Wes Clark returns. We've got Malcolm on there, and it's going to be fantastic. So check out all of that if you're a member. Okay. Bye-bye.